Well, pleasant Monday evening. Welcome to KGNU's Opera Box. I'm your opera host, Ron Nadell, sitting in for Chris Moore, who is away on assignment. KGNU's Opera Box is our newest addition to Monday Night Classical Music. Tonight I've got a playlist of opera love duets. Music such as this duet from Act 1 of Bellini's Capulets and Montagues. Plus, music of Wagner, Puccini, and Richard Strauss. Well, are you ready for some passion? Join me for tonight's Opera Box. Oh, beautiful. The love duet from Act One of Vincenzo Bellini's bel canto masterpiece, I Capuletti e I Montecchi, The Capulets and the Montagues. And we heard superstars Janet Baker as Romeo and Beverly Sills as Juliet. Giuseppe Pitani conducted the New Philharmonia Orchestra. It's 11 minutes after 7. On this Monday evening, you're listening to KGNU's Opera Box, and I'm your host, Ron Nadel. Tonight, I have a playlist of great love duets, which contrast the music of two great Italian opera composers, Vincenzo Bellini and Giacomo Puccini, with two great German composers, Richard Wagner and Richard Strauss. And we just heard Romeo and Juliet's love duet from Act One of The Capulets and the Montagues. In that aria, Romeo's declaring his love for Juliet, but she is feeling guilty and worries. What would her father think if he knew she was in love with a Montague? Romeo being sung by mezzo-soprano Janet Baker, that's a trouser role, which means it's a woman singing a man's role. We'll have another example of that towards the end of the program. Of course, one of the reasons opera composers like to write trouser roles is because they love the combination of women's voices. During the program, feel free to tweet me at Nadel_classical. That's NADEL_classical. You can also visit the KGNU Facebook page and be part of the dialogue. And you'll also find full programming and schedule information by visiting kgnu.org. Our next love duet comes from the opera Tristan and Isolde by Richard Wagner. Now, Bellini's opera is an example of bel canto style. The overriding principle of bel canto is beauty of singing. Bel canto means beautiful song. And it's characterized by graceful melodies, light vocal tones, and agile technique for effortless embellishments. Drama, characterization, orchestration, and narrative were secondary to the beautiful singing. Precisely the opposite is true of the music of Richard Wagner. With Wagner, the drama and its meaning were equal to the music. Wagner wanted listeners to think and to feel what the characters were feeling. Tristan and Isolde is among Wagner's highest achievements in that regard. The Act Two love scene is very nearly a sex scene, as you'll hear. Now, the opera Tristan and Isolde is based on a 12th century medieval legend. And in Act One, Tristan, the trusted friend of England's King Mark, is returning after defeating the Irish and killing their king. He's returning with the Irish queen, Isolde, and she is to marry King Mark. Well, she hates Tristan with all her being, and she makes a poisonous potion, and she plans to kill Tristan with it and herself. But she mistakenly makes a love potion. Instantly, their hatred becomes a powerful love. In Act Two, the king has gone hunting, which leaves Tristan and Isolde alone. And in each other's arms, they are overpowered by love, and they no longer even think of themselves as individuals. They're one, if you get my meaning. And they're so far gone, it's as if the world no longer exists. Well, during the duet, Isolde's handmaid, Brangana, peeks in, and she warns the two lovers that daylight is coming. And they're like, did you hear something? The music sways and builds, and it's unmistakable in its descriptiveness. Wagner couldn't show us what they're doing, but he certainly makes us feel what they're doing. The music wells up and builds to a powerful, well, climax. The Act Two Love Duet from Tristan and Isolde by Richard Wagner.
Oh.
Well, did the earth move for you? That was the love scene from Act Two of Tristan und Isolde by Richard Wagner. We heard the superstars Birgit Nilsson as Isolde, Wolfgang Wingassen as Tristan, and Christa Ludwig as the handmaid Brangana. Carl Böhm conducted the Bayreuth Festival Orchestra. It's 38 minutes after 7. You're listening to KGNU Opera Box. This is Ron Nadel. I've got a playlist of romantic love scenes. And stick around, too, because I'll be your host at 8 p.m. for KGNU's A Classic Monday with a program of great choral music. But right now, my next excerpt is from Puccini's Madame Butterfly. It's the story of Cho-Cho-san, an innocent young Japanese girl who becomes the bride of an officer in the U.S. Navy, Lieutenant Benjamin Pinkerton, who paid a Japanese marriage broker to find him a wife. It's the end of Act One, and Pinkerton and Cho-Cho-san have just been married. They don't really even know each other. Cho-Cho-san, who's called Butterfly, prepares for her wedding night, assisted by her maid Suzuki. The sun is setting, and the couple go into the garden, illuminated by Japanese lanterns. Butterfly, of course, is a virgin. She's anxious, wanting to please her new husband, a man of the world. Pinkerton soothes Butterfly's fears. Nervousness becomes arousal as they fall in love. Puccini was strongly influenced by Wagner, so he was himself a master in creating music that really illustrates the drama and the characters. The Act One love duet from Madame Butterfly by Giacomo Puccini.
Thank you. Oh!
The love duet from Act One of Madame Butterfly by Giacomo Puccini. And we heard superstars Mirella Freni as Butterfly, Luciano Pavarotti as Pinkerton. Once again, Christa Ludwig, mezzo-soprano, was the handmaid, and Herbert von Karajan conducted the Vienna Philharmonic. Well, we're going to conclude tonight's program of operatic love scenes with the closing love duet from Richard Strauss' romantic comedy, Der Rosenkavalier. A Rosenkavalier is a go-between, someone who delivers a rose as a symbol of a marriage proposal. The opera was written in 1910, but the story takes place in 18th century Vienna. And in this funny and touching opera, boorish Baron von Ox is to marry young, sweet Sophie. Sophie's parents are nouveau riche, and they want to become aristocrats. The old pompous Baron is an aristocrat who's out of money. But when the young bearer of the rose arrives, he and Sophie fall in love at first sight. And to complicate things, he's the younger lover of the married Princess Maria Therese of Vienna. Now, how this gets sorted out so the young lovers are united, that's what this opera is all about. And in the final scene, the two are left alone, deeply in love, as if in a dream. And in this opera, Octavian, the young Rosenkavalier, is sung by a mezzo. It's another example of a trouser role. When you hear it, you'll understand why Strauss wrote it that way. The final love duet from Rosenkavalier.
Yeah.
That was the concluding love duet from Der Rosenkavalier by Richard Strauss. We heard Yvonne Minton as Octavian and Helen Donath as Sophie, with Georg Schulte conducting the Vienna Philharmonic. That's all the time we have for the Opera Box. Stay tuned right now for Yours Truly and A Classic Monday. It's 3 minutes after 8, and you're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, 93.7 FM in Nederland, and online live at kgnu.org. Pleasant Monday evening, everyone. Welcome to KGNU's A Classic Monday. I'm Ron Nadel, your classical music host tonight, sitting in for James Weiss. Tonight I've got a two-part playlist of choral music. Now, the sound of others singing is a unique, uplifting pleasure. And so in part one tonight, my playlist includes recent choral works inspired by literary and poetic sources, such as this Pange Lingua by Canadian composer David Briggs. Then for part two, I've got an intriguing playlist that lets us compare the Magnificat church hymn as interpreted by five different composers. During the music, feel free to tweet me at Nadel_classical or call me here in the studio at 303-442-4242. Join me for tonight's choral